Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Today is a day that the Lord our God has made. And I thank the Lord. We will be glad and rejoice in it. The Lord gives us new mercies every day. He has new thoughts for us. He's going to help us do greater as time progresses. So I thank God for what's next, what he's up to today, and I enjoy God all the time. When I'm waiting on things to happen, when I'm waiting on things to unfold, the duration of faith. See, faith begins, it starts something. When you believe God, for whatever you're believing it for, heaven's on board. If you're in faith and no doubt in your heart, you have faith in your heart, no doubt in your heart, heaven's on board doing something. And when you have to wait, that's patience. That's a waiting faith. Patience and peace keeps you in faith and for the duration. But guess what? We're complete in Christ anyway. Whatever we're waiting on, whatever we desire, it's going to happen. God is for us. No man can be against us. The only time, God told me one time, he said, when it comes to other people's will, that's where we get off the bus. But otherwise, as long as we're in faith, it's happening. But guess what? In the duration, you can enjoy God. You can enjoy your time with the Lord. You can enjoy your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're complete in Christ. And I thank God for it. Today is Wednesday, August the 25th, the day I'm doing this broadcast. I started putting the date on them this week, really. And I like doing it that way. I wanted to let people know what day it is. That gives people a greater reference. But it's not as important as the word God gives. And I thank God for his word. Now, today God put on my heart, I love him, he put on my heart Isaiah chapter 7. And I'm going to be honest with you. Yesterday, while I was doing yesterday's broadcast, those wild grapes, I was learning. The Lord opened my eyes to many things as I went down Isaiah chapter 5 and also chapter 6. And mostly chapter 5, I saw things that he helped me connect a lot of dots yesterday. And I love that. I know he's talking to people when he does that. And some of my questions got answered. I don't know everything. And somebody would say, well, yeah, you said you were an apostle. But apostles don't know everything. We learn as we yield to God, just like everybody else. We just have an office to fulfill. And God will give us his wisdom as we go. And today he put some more things on my heart that's very necessary. It's going to be a blessing. I love God. And I love his ways. His ways are pure. God is pure. And he blesses people. He's looking for people he can bless. I thank God for that. And see, as we yield to the Lord, you learn things you can't otherwise learn. That's just the way it is. It's not like, it's just the way it is. A lot of things people believe because of tradition. It's just, you know, when you interact with the Holy Spirit, you learn. And even the apostles, they learned as they went when they first started. You know, we all do. I thank God for it. Now, Isaiah chapter 7. Hear the word of God as I read it. And as God helped me to expound it. Now, this is just after chapter 6. The Lord just told Isaiah that he was going to blind Israel. And so, you know, we covered that yesterday. He said, I will go send me. Now, remember something. The Lord sent Isaiah to the king, which happens to be sitting in Moses' seat. Okay? So keep that thought in mind. All right, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. See, this is the battle of good and evil that's been going on before God made Adam. Same battle. It's just different people operating in it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart, now watch this, his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood move with the wind. Okay, so here you are. Imagine yourself as Ahaz. He's sitting in Moses' seat. He's the king of Judah. And here comes risen king of Syria. Now that's the worldly enemy. That's the outside enemy. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Okay, so now you got the internal enemy and lead with the external enemy to come against the covenant, because you're sitting in Moses' seat. You're the point man. We're dealing with point men today. This is your situation just as much as it is Ahaz. When God was talking to Ahaz, King Ahaz, he was in Moses' seat. And the external enemy, Satan, and the internal enemy, you know, the tares among the wheat, so to speak, they were in league together. But watch verse 2. This is a key verse in all of this. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. See, the house of David, when the king found out that, and people knew it, they knew what Syria and Ephraim were doing together, the internal enemy, the external enemy, and league with the internal enemy that know all the secrets. His heart was moved as the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. When you're a leader and God is with you, and whatever is in your heart, the people, they're connected to you. If you get in fear, they get in fear. Whatever you're doing in their sight, they're looking to you. They get persuaded whether they want to or not. The only way they don't is if they look unto Jesus. Otherwise, I told a friend of mine at work, I said, whenever somebody's in charge, it can be a mayor, it can be a president, it can be whoever's in charge, it can be a social group, a church, a business. Over time, whoever that leader is, the whole organization will take on his personality. And we see this in verse 2. It was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. So the way, when people are in charge of anything, if they're in charge long enough, the whole organization will take on their personality. Because look at verse 2 again. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. This goes both ways. Not only when the king was persuaded that way, and then also the wicked kings, they were the same way. See, once your personality is geared up to do something, people will take on that format. So you got an internal enemy and an external enemy that's motivated against you. But look at verse 3. And the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fuller's field. Now, it's interesting. He didn't send him to the castle or the king's house or wherever he did judgment. He sent him to where he knew he would be. Private meeting. And now watch what he said. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Now, obviously, they couldn't do nothing with him. So they were going to try to destroy him and set up a new king that they could control. This kind of warfare tactic have been going on since before Adam. This is how Satan operates. If something is of God, he wants to shut it down. Before Jesus came, he tried to pollute the gene pool of man, causing evil fallen angels to marry the earth women. And they had giants that bullied men and caused them to have evil appetites, such as bloodlust and lust of the flesh, witchcraft, all these kind of poisons that hinder our societies. You know, lust is the appetite of demons on humans. It's not from God. And you see it all over the place in this world now. The internet, the TV, everything. Foolishness. Satan is trying to keep people interested. And I'm going to tell you this. He puts in a lot of effort to keep men interested in wrong. If it all stopped, people would kind of fall away from it. But he tries to launch his attack, just like he's doing here in verse 6. Let us go up against Judah, the strong man, and vex it, and make us a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Now watch what the Lord's response is. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. There's a covenant behind you, King Ahaz. There's a covenant. Now, this part's not scripture. I'm just putting that in. Again, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. See, Father Abraham cut a covenant with God. And God is honoring that covenant at one of the most strategic points of time with King Ahaz. Now watch what he says, King Ahaz, he's telling you. And we're going to explain that too. What he's about to say to King Ahaz, he's telling that to every person. Because everybody's in this very same predicament that Ahaz was in. Thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. The head of your enemy, external enemy, is Damascus, a rogue state. And the head of Damascus is Rezin, a dead man. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people, a dying people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. They are our traitors. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son, a dead man, with no purpose, no covenant. See, Rezin and Remaliah, men without covenant, their words are smoking firebrands. They cannot back it up. They will not win. They will fight and kill humans, but they cannot overtake the covenant. And you have to understand this. This is the same predicament that we all share. So we have to do what God is about to tell King Ahaz to do. Verse 9, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely you shall not be established. If you don't believe in the covenant, you will not win. If you believe in the covenant, you've already won. Because God told Ahaz, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Now, God's track record is true. God told Adam the same thing. He said, the day you eat off this tree, you shall surely die. Adam didn't make a day. See, a day being 1,000 years. He lived 930 years, 70 years shy of a day. He died that day we look at a day as a 24-hour period. People say, well, in dying, he would die. No, a day, that was on a Sunday. He died on Sunday. The Sunday portion of God's week, you know, let there be light. You know, that was the first day. Adam was light. He was the light of the world. The altar tree, he lived to be 930 years, 70 years shy of one of God's days. Now, the reason the 24-hour period was, it showed the angel community and the universe community what God was doing before God made Adam. He did six things. He did six different things on six different days, representing the week, the 1,000 years, you know, the 6,000 years that man would rule the earth. On the seventh day, Jesus would rule the earth as a man. Seventh day, he rested. He was communicating. See, they already understood that a day to God was like 1,000 years. They understood that. We come into this not knowing all the history, everything that happened, and what God was doing. So sometime I have to go back and explain things. And then the church world, people think they know things they have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But again, if the leaders are a certain way, that's how the people would be, unless they look to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Paul put it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And many good men of God do that, but people that don't study and don't look to Jesus, they look to Jesus through their pastor. Most people do it the easy way. See, the Roman Catholic Church, they made a tradition at a time where only rich people went to school and men went to school. They didn't even teach women how to read. That was it was very rare for a woman to learn to read. And I'm sure they did because they taught their children, but usually education was for the wealthy. So you're looking at culture problems. When they had a good priest in the Catholic church, they taught the people well, and the people listened to the priest, and then they probably couldn't even afford a Bible of their own. When Martin Luther put it in, printed it from Latin to German, well, now the everyday Joe could get a copy. They could start printing and people get the word. Well, when Tyndale did it, and then King James had it done, that helped. That means that all you had to do is know how to read. But, you know, the culture, people didn't read. They just went to church and listened hard. They listened to the apostles. And they listened hard. They internalized every word because, you know, you don't know when you might get a word again. They didn't get a good word every Sunday like we do. But they would listen. You know, they went to church and they met at houses and they shared the word the best they could. But a lot of people that didn't read, they waited till they could go to church and hear from the preacher, the priest. Well, that made it kind of comfortable. But you got to remember, the priest was also under attack. Same attack that Ahaz was under, the external enemy. The culture of the day, Satan, the king, he wanted to be honored. He wanted people to look to him, not Jesus. It depends on who the king was. And when they found out that the church was something that they couldn't control, then the way they controlled it was with the preacher. So this is the very same situation. You see why I'm saying that all right, you're a man of covenant or a woman of covenant, and here along comes a spider trying to shut it down. The enemy is not only, you may not look at yourself as a king and a priest, but you really are. Satan does. He knows that you're a king and a priest. And you have an everyday audience. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, even when you ride the bus, commute on a train, whatever you do every day, there are a group of people that see you. And when they see you living for God, you have influence. And Satan doesn't like it. God loves it. He gave you that influence. You have covenant influence. Just by agreeing with Jesus, you have covenant influence. And Satan wants to shut that down. And he wants to get you into a compromised state so that the people who see you every day will see a man of or a woman of compromise instead of a man or a woman that has covenant influence. Ahaz was holding his ground. The Lord wanted him to know that he has covenant influence if he wants it. Obviously, he didn't seem to know it because the Lord told him. He said, moreover, verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth, which is hell, or in the height above, which is heaven. Make up your mind. This is important, Ahaz. Ask the question so I can answer you. But watch what he does. He said, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, I believe this is Jeremiah talking now. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come. From the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns and upon all bushels. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is higher, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall consume the beard. You know, when you're in covenant, the covenant's going to win. If Ahaz had devoted his heart to the Lord and receive the responsibility of the covenant. He was already fighting because he was fighting for his kingdom. But they were coming against him because of the covenant. See, when the Lord's trying to bring something to you, you have to receive what he's saying. So the Lord's going to fight this battle. But first of all, you can't think like your enemy. You need to be in, if you're going to fight a war of covenant, you got to be in the covenant. In order to have covenant influence, you have to believe, or you will not be established. And people are going to follow your lead, whatever you do. There are many people that will follow your lead, whether you do good or bad, or even worse, which is compromise. Compromise causes people to be tangled up. They're like the people that's the seed that fell among thorns. And it chokes the word, it becomes unfruitful. Let's talk about the word choke. If somebody's choking you, you're dying. You can't breathe. You only have a few minutes to live unless they stop choking you. And you can't bear fruit. You can't tell a lukewarm person. You know, a lukewarm person seems to be on God's side, but they're in the middle of the road. Their devotion is divided. They want to go with what God is saying in one sense, and then they want to go with the world over here on another sense, and their whole life is unstable. And the reason God spit them out is because they are leavened with evil. and they won't make up their mind what they're going to get rid of. It's kind of like a woman, she's got a boyfriend, she's in and out of a relationship, but she decided to get married to somebody. All right, let's say your best friend wants to marry this woman, and she can't make up her mind. She's like olive oil. You know, remember Popeye and Bruto and olive oil? You know, Popeye was crazy about it, but she was goofy. Just like a lukewarm person is. They just run with the world over here and run with God over here the next day. And what God said he would do, see, you got to watch the language of what God is doing. He said he'd spit them out. That means something is rotten about them. And you cannot win against Satan if you think like him. If Ahaz would have asked the Lord what he was talking about, he could have learned something. A virgin's going to give birth. See, Jesus was a mystery. He should have consulted the Lord. The Lord was trying to tell him something, and it was very good. But he said, I won't ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. So when you're in Ahaz's position, learn from what he did wrong. Go and ask the Lord your questions and get fortified in the things of God. And then God will give you the victory over your dead enemies. See, the external enemies, they're on the outside of in our day, they're on the outside of the church. Wicked men. They're in league with internal enemies that's inside the church. They know your language. They know where you go. They speak churchese. I mean, they know the Christian language. They know how Christians talk, how they think. And a little leaven leavens the lump. And as it leavens the lump, God will spit them out. Okay, but let's go on. Verse 20. The same day shall the Lord say with the razor him that... In the same day shall the Lord shave with the razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines of 1,000 silvernings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come there, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, and on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. Now, this is talking about after Israel is not blinded anymore. They're going to run to the hills. The Lord's going to protect them. He's going to cleave the mountain in two and protect them in that valley. God is going to fight their battles because they believe on Christ. And the Lord is going to come back to save them. And everything else is going to be surrounding Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. But see, the king of Assyria, you cannot win against. If you read in the Kings and Chronicles, you know, he didn't do well in battle against these kings, and Israel ended up going into captivity. Now, in modern times, we're not without external enemies and internal enemies. As a man of God, as a preacher, I saw how the enemy had a lot of pull with the world. That was to be understood. But when I started preaching, that's when I was really introduced to spiritual warfare. Nobody had to tell me that I was a devil. Because when you're trying to do God's work and you're being hindered from within, that's something that you just don't expect. But here it is. When God would give me pure revelation and he would answer questions, the response that people had, it was mixed. It was some people, they receive from the word and they learn from it, and others try to find fault in it. You know, you got this wonderful word. It's something that will, that's working in your life. And then men of God, men and women of God, can't even receive it. Now, I'm not just talking to, I love God's people, but this is something that I run into so many times. And I didn't, as a young minister, I didn't understand it. I just said, wow, this is interesting. The Lord let me walk right into it. But he would warn me. He told me about some things, but I didn't see it. You have to, if you ever dare to do it God's way, in other words, the fight that's without is easily won if you win the fight within. But when I knew the condition of the church and how people live in a lukewarm state, and they have lukewarm appetites and lukewarm type of pride, I said, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. But guess what? I'm in covenant, and I have covenant influence. The Lord told me what to do, and he's given me good reports about all these broadcasts. So continue to use them, because the insight that God has given you, if you could see, when you're with him, you're going to win. You're going to end up just like the people of Israel on the mountain that God is protecting them from the world. That has become thorns and briars. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in. And